It's Wednesday, May 12th, 2021. I'm Cameron Weir, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. Because she would not support Donald Trump's lies about the 2020 election, this morning, congressional Republicans voted to remove Liz Cheney from her role as a party leader. This move should come as no surprise, since the GOP has long supported taking any amount of control away from women. A new book from a Washington Post reporter claims Donald Trump Jr.'s then-wife Vanessa had an affair with a Secret Service agent, while Tiffany Trump may have had an inappropriate relationship as well. Just think, before Trump, providing protection for the first family did not mean bringing condoms. Chick-fil-A will limit the amount of sauces a customer can get as they are facing a sauce shortage. No word yet on how Tucker Carlson will be able to blame this on Biden's enhanced unemployment benefits. Even though roughly 42,000 people are still being infected with COVID each day in Florida, Walt Disney World is still shortening the 6-foot distance requirement at the park. This is to be expected when you elect Goofy as your governor. eBay has opened its platform to sales of NFTs. Now, when you wake up hungover from a bad online shopping spree, instead of asking, what the hell did I buy, you can now ask, no, seriously, what the hell is an NFT? NBC's hit drama This Is Us will end after the upcoming sixth season. Fans of the show are reportedly sad, although we're not certain it's because of this news or the latest episodes of This Is Us. It was reported that Alex Rodriguez called Jennifer Lopez to tell her that he was upset that she reconnected with former boyfriend Ben Affleck. Much like the rest of the country, A-Rod must be worried they'll make a sequel to Geely. Days of Our Lives has been renewed for 2 more seasons, which will be its 58th year. Ironically, 58 years old is what soap opera producers call their younger demographic. Tina Turner, Carole King, The Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Foo Fighters, and Todd Rundgren have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bad news for anyone who had Milli Vanilli in this year's pool. After facing accusations of a toxic workplace, Ellen DeGeneres is ending her show after its upcoming 19th season. This should prove to have a more long-term effect on her career than the last time she said she was out. Now let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with my white privileged husband, Pete.
I really think that you made that up. I think you added a couple of extra.
Were the things weighted in any way? Because I feel like I marked down more than him.
I felt like
you
did too.
Unless I lost track, but I don't think so. I think, Pete was.
Look, I'm not denying my white privilege. I just said that I think that there were other people on screen based on the fact that they don't have a Mexican wife who had more white privilege.
That right there is.
And there it is.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah. You honestly think I would rig it to make you the person with the most white privilege?
Maybe that's a status thing for you. I don't know.
Those are microaggressions right there.
There goes
it. Those are my microaggressions. I just want to say that we got our second vaccine today. For some reason, I feel so bad for Bill Gates. I don't know why.
Elizabeth.
How's it going? If you're watching the video, I'm wearing pink on a Wednesday, just like in Mean Girls. And if you're not watching the video, the joke is useless. Happy Wednesday.
Yes, because on Wednesdays we wear pink.
On Wednesdays we wear pink.
Yeah. Danny.
On Wednesdays we're on Channel 4. But anyway, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's National Food Allergies Week, and I'm allergic to mayonnaise.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
So allergies also have a national day?
It's National Food Allergy Week.
Food Allergy Week, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Annie, you should have said that yesterday. That would have put you lower down on the white privilege scale if you would have said you're allergic to mayonnaise.
I was second to last. So.
Does that mean you're also allergic to eggs?
No. Huh. It's just specifically mayonnaise. It makes my lips swell up.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Great.
Hi, happy Wednesday, everybody. I wish I was allergic to mayonnaise. That would be the best gift that God could have given me, but apparently I'm not because I love deviled eggs.
No, it's a blessing. Now, because
Chris,
you love
I have to say, I really dig the beanie look. Looks good
Thank
on
you.
You. Yeah, so if those of you that are listening and not watching, you guys are missing out. Chris looks very nice in the beanie.
You know, I'm still thinking that Chris had more white privilege points than me. I don't know why. I'm going to go back and count the video tomorrow.
Listen.
Why don't you do that? Why don't you go back and count the video? And if I was wrong,
seems like a good use of time.
The only black people that can have more white privilege than you are the Cosby kids. And or the Bankses.
Oh, they definitely did. Yes,
that's it.
No doubt on that.
No, because I'm digging the black hipster look you got going right now. So
I forgot the Obamas.
Pete, the Obamas might have a little more white privilege than you. The Obama kids.
True. Ian.
Hi. I don't have anything funny to say. Sorry.
Ian, did you have a delicious dinner tonight?
I had a really great dinner. That rice you made was amazing. Peter, you don't know what you're missing.
Shut up. One day I'll eat rice again.
Dang. So. Y'all eating carbs in front of him? That's fucked up.
I wasn't my idea.
Oh, but you didn't stop. You didn't
mocking me. Ian's
been very good. Like, we've been
bastard.
Kind of eating him low carb, but I was like, today I'm like, he can have some carbs. So.
I hide my snacks in my room.
She doles them out.
And Joe.
Hey, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. And a very happy National Odometer Day. It's also National Nutty Fudge Day. And I'd also like to point out, there really is a lot of white privilege when your Mexican wife makes a really good rice and you don't eat it.
you know what I found out a few minutes ago? It's also Homer Simpson's birthday today. Because apparently one of the episodes, he shows his driver's license, and it was May 12th on it. So,
Peter,
thank you, Reddit.
Homer Simpson isn't real.
Really?
It's also
he's got yellow privilege.
It's also our nephew Brandon's 5th birthday today in New York. So happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Brandon.
Speaking of which, you know why we know it was his birthday? Because we went to see Hamilton on the day he was born. White privilege.
let's not
original cast.
We don't talk about that night anymore, okay? It was a damn good show. Okay, so let's get started with tonight's show. Sure, it's always good to discuss real-world problems and give our opinion, but it's also a lot more fun to discuss stories we have absolutely no way of knowing are true. For that reason, it's time for This Week in Gossip, in which we've gone through all the major gossip websites and pulled some of the biggest stories of the week. None of which we verified to be true. I'll tell you the story and you can either tell us what you know about it or just comment on it. Okay, so first, since every gossip site has some variation of the story about J-Lo and Ben Affleck reconnecting, we thought we would start This Week in Gossip with one sentence that incorporates as many of the versions of the Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck story. So please try and pay attention. Whew. Alex Rodriguez called Jennifer Lopez to voice his displeasure about her and Ben Affleck taking a romantic week-long vacation in Montana after the couple got back together, which makes Matt Damon very happy, but they're not rushing to get married, although they might be rushing to get married, who knows, following months of flirty texts between the two while she was still with Alex, although they did not get serious until after she and Alex broke up. Which was caused by Alex cheating on her, although it might not have been because of Alex, as Ben had emailed her multiple letters of longing for several months. So that's the story. Got that?
Yep.
Okay. So any comments on this? I just think this is like the biggest train wreck, and I'm enjoying every second of it. Danny, let's start with you.
But yeah, when he had his side piece, you know, there would, you know, he didn't really care. So. I've never liked A-Rod. I'm a Yankees fan, and I've never liked A-Rod, so he can go stuff it.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Fucking love this. I don't know why.
Me too.
I feel like, I think everybody's kind of saying, like, he was at his most, like, Hollywood glam with her, and I think he might go back to that. Although I don't ever make him stop getting the Dunkies and the Amazon packages out front and all those awkward paparazzi photos where he's trying to balance everything. I hope she never makes him stop doing that because those are amazing. Yeah, I don't know why I like this so much. And I like them together. I remember kind of liking them in interviews at the time. I mean, especially now I know how fake half of this shit is anyway, so who knows? But I don't know. I just kind of, maybe it feels like we're going back to normal and they're like some harbinger of like better times to come. Probably not. Highly doubtful. But yeah, and I've never liked A-Rod, so I don't really care. And I do like Ben Affleck, and I want Ben Affleck to be happy.
Okay.
Except for that fucking Phoenix tattoo, my guy. I don't know why you got it. Time to slowly laser it off.
He's back to being Bruce Wayne.
I don't know anything about A-Rod, so I don't have an opinion about him, but I don't like Jennifer Lopez for a lot of reasons. And I do like Ben Affleck too, but I just think this is just like the biggest, like, I don't know, train wreck that's waiting to happen.
Probably. Peter,
go ahead.
No, I was thinking the other day when this story started breaking that we've been in lockdown so long that we came out of it in 2001. And I was trying to think, was my life better in 2001 than it is now? Of course, no, it wasn't. So I'm not really sure how I feel about this, but I'm pretty sure this isn't going to end well somehow or another.
It's like, I mean, the thing with her is like she just cannot be alone. I mean, three marriages, like five engagements. And again, I know people should say, oh, you shouldn't judge women for doing that. But I am judging, so... whatever. Chris.
Elizabeth, I'm not saying she's Elizabeth Taylor, but if Elizabeth Taylor could do it.
Yeah. I don't know. But like I said, I'm not a big fan of hers. I really don't like her. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, first of all, when I heard that her and Alex were breaking up, I was actually very happy about it. Not because I have anything against him or her, but like, it was such a like Hollywood manufactured fucking relationship. Like they literally went on a PR tour going to different talk shows, talking about their relationship and how perfect they are together and how they like the same things and are spending like this, like having this whirlwind romance. Like it was like watching America's Sweethearts, the movie, but in real life. Like this, I did not feel that it was real between them, like even a little bit. Secondly, if this is true and that there are rumors that they have been like, you know, J-Lo and Ben Affleck have been messing around, he is low-key like the biggest man whore in Hollywood right now because he's messing around with the Spanish actress.
Mm-hmm. Under the Armas. They broke up a while ago.
Anyway, he's messing around with Spanish artists, and then he was just spending Mother's Day with Jennifer Garner. I know they're friends, but like, you know, there's still some feelings there. And then he's messing with J-Lo at the same time. Like, Ben Affleck is in these streets right now, and I don't know we're not concentrating on the right story. Like, he's in these streets and in these sheets, and everybody's like, oh, poor J-Lo. But it's like, no, look at Ben Affleck. He's out here slaying, and we are just letting him get away with his food like it's no big deal.
Yeah,
he has kids with Jennifer Garner, so they're going to have a relationship regardless. It's not like J-Lo and Mark Anthony.
But still, that's what I'm saying. Like, but still, like, there was like, but that, I mean, like, he's just broke up. He's like hanging out with his ex-wife and he's hanging out with J-Lo. Like, my man's doing work.
Yeah. Let me go to Joe and then I'll go to Pete. Go ahead, Joe.
First of all, what's his deal with A-Rod calling with his displeasure? They broke up, yo. Come on. Don't even, I don't know why you're doing that. That just makes you look weak that you're trying to call your ex and say, I don't really like this, you know? At that point, what is Mark Anthony's thought on the whole thing? And then
he's actually pretty cool with it.
Yeah, Ben Affleck does kind of roll around. You can ask the nanny that he bought a white Lexus convertible for, because you know she needed a car to get to work, so we bought her a white Lexus convertible. Yeah, so but
it's generous.
I know all you guys are happy that they're together. Me personally, Ana de Armas, I know that you broke up. Hey, give me a call. I'm here for you.
Catch that rebound.
But you guys are all happy now. But when we get Geely 2, you're all going to be complaining.
That's what I said.
Pete, and then I'm going to eat.
It's just, I was thinking to myself that it's like, you know, when you get together with somebody, the last thing you really want to know is kind of like who they were with while you weren't with them. And it's like, it's impossible for either one of them not to know because it's all just media stuff. because neither one of them just has sex with normal people. They have to constantly hook up with other celebrities. So it's like now, I mean, like, I guess if you're Ben Affleck, you kind of have to like figure you're now, it's weird because originally, Mark Anthony was his sloppy seconds. Now it's the actual opposite. He's like his sloppy fourths, apparently. So I don't know.
This is all publicity. And for anybody that actually believes that this is that, like I've been reading some comments from my friends and they're like, oh, we're so happy to see Bennifer back. I'm like, do you honestly believe this is real? I'm like, come on, give me a break. Either, I mean, do they have anything coming out, like new movies or anything that they're trying to promote?
He's filming something and he doesn't like imminently, but, I think it's to divert from the A-Rod mess, maybe, because he was his maybe cheating scandal. She bounces out of that situation and moves on to something better that she doesn't have to deal with any, like, what about you and A-Rod business? And she's just...
Oh, so ridiculous.
I think she has new music coming out.
Mm, okay, yeah.
I'm sure she does.
Veronica. Yes. Veronica, if I start dating Ana de Armas, does that lower my white privilege a little?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And she's actually very beautiful.
Yeah, she is very beautiful.
She's a Joe?
No. It increases the white privilege. You didn't get a regular Spanish girl. You have to date the richest Spanish girl in the fucking Hollywood right now. So how dare you? That's the one privilege like a motherfucker. You think you deserve the best, sir? You don't deserve
nothing. Not for nothing, Joe. If Ana de Armas dates you, she's lowering her white privilege.
That's good, but that's good right now. That's really good. It's a good look, Ana. Call
her. It's a good look. Hey, Ana, if you're listening, give him a call.
Ian, what are your thoughts on this before we talk? Ian?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Wake up.
No, I just wanted to say, as a fellow person who can't stand to be alone, I have a lot of sympathy for Jennifer.
Oh, no. That was... Oh, you're so cute.
You went there.
Sorry, I went there. I know.
No. Save that for tomorrow. Tomorrow's Therapy Thursday, Ian.
God.
And Ian, you know you're not alone right now. You've got
Thank you.
So the next story is about the talk and them begging Sharon Osbourne to come back as ratings tank. Any thoughts on that, Pete?
See, I think this is definitely a made-up story, and I think it's probably made up by Sharon Osbourne. Because, I mean, she's only been gone like a month. I mean, they couldn't even gotten ratings in that period of time. Like, and if they did...
Actually, they do give them out daily, just saying.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, but they haven't gotten...
But
like,
a trend, you can't see a trend for
a month. There's no... So clearly this is like Sharon sitting around going, put out a press release that they're begging me to come back.
I could see that happening. Yeah. Elizabeth.
Yeah, it could also just be like she quit and then the talk suddenly dropped out of the press cycle with that mess done. And they're like, gotta get some attention back because The View was getting a little more attention for a while there. Meghan McCain had some more like Vikings hairstyles. I don't know what that girl's doing. With the hair,
she's a crap.
I can't. Yeah.
every day it's a choice, and it's the wrong one. but The View came back into like the foreground, and the talk was probably like, oh, put something out, and maybe Sharon, like Peter said too, I'm totally biased. Like, oh no, they aren't talking about me for 30 seconds. Quick to the Daily Mail, tell them what I said.
Well, I also feel like this is something that Sharon Osbourne could try to put out to like try to get her own show on the air. Because here's the thing, she could be one of the celebrities that's in the running or in the talks to take over another person's spot who just lost their television show. So, you know, she could be trying to create a buzz for herself to get into that running.
She could team up with peers and create just the worst vortex.
You know what I'm saying?
Fucking annoying.
You know what I'm saying? You know how Hollywood works. Yeah. That's all it is. Create a buzz and then you're in the talks of it, and then as a thing, you know, because here's the thing too, if I'm looking at it as an exec, if you put her in has her own show after all the controversy that's been with her, you know people are going to watch for two reasons. One, because they're fans of her, or two, because they want to see if it's going to be a train wreck, just like we just watched last weekend with Elon Musk being in SNL.
Okay, the next story is for all you Swifties out there. Yes, I'm looking at you, Danny. Taylor Swift is rushing to get married to Joe Alwyn.
Because oh my God, is she pregnant?
Sorry. What do we know about this story?
Can you imagine the lullaby CD she's going to come out with?
Wait, what?
A CD full of lullabies. That would be awesome.
Oh, I thought she had
I'm not saying it's true, but it's their life. If she's pregnant, go for it.
Who's the guy? I don't know anything about him.
Joe Alwyn.
Joe Alwyn.
He's an actor.
Okay. I
British, what? British guy. He was, I think, in the Harriet movie, the Harriet Tubman movie.
Hmm.
And he
so you mean he played a racist?
Yes, actually, I do.
Well, clearly, it's a falsity of play.
I mean, yeah, I was like, yeah, if he was a white dude in that movie, he was for sure.
And then I think he's briefly in The Favorite with Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz. But, I mean, that proves how memorable he was, because I can't be 100% confident it was him. Without the
IMDb. Oh, I know who he is. He's the guy, because he was, I don't know, I can't remember his character name, but I do remember him and Harriet. He, like, actually kind of was in love with her, but, like.
Yeah.
Like, he did that dude, yeah, that dude, yeah. So
he was her former slave master, and then, like.
After lover.
But they implied very heavily that, like, he, like, because they grew up together, but, like, he still. So he liked her, and I'm like, this is messed up. I don't know if this is the best interpretation of her story possible.
I'm looking him up, and he was also in Billy Lynn's Long Halftime.
Oh, I guess.
Well, no wonder we didn't ever heard of him before.
Mary was Queen of Scots.
Was he Billy Flynn?
Billy Lynn.
Billy Lynn.
That's how good the movie was.
That's a long halftime.
No, but I think he was the guy in The Favorite who was trying to hook up with Emma Stone.
Yeah. I think that's who he was.
Sure.
Okay. Well, at least Taylor Swift remembers him, because we sure don't. Jesus.
And he was Bob Cratchit.
He's going to be the father of a baby. What do you think?
He was Bob Cratchit in The Christmas Carol.
Which Christmas Carol?
There's like 20 of them.
The one that came out back in 2019?
Oh, the one I started to watch with my mom that had Guy Pearce, but then it started with someone pissing on Jacob Marley's grave, and we went, I don't know if this is the show for us.
Yeah.
Not because we're prudes, because it was just bad.
Does that mean that Taylor Swift's baby's going to be named Tiny Tim?
Oh, but he might be a racist.
Well, he'll definitely be a crutch.
Okay, so Caitlyn Jenner is only running for governor as revenge against the Kardashians for shunning her. There's so much to unpack there. Like, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Who cares?
Pete. I mean, why not? Because they do everything else for spite. So why not run for governor of the state of California? I mean, she has to assume there's no shot she's going to win. So at least this gives her some press. And I got to tell you, you know, it's one thing when Fox News is putting her on the air and letting her give her views. It's a totally other thing when CNN devotes most of their day on Monday to a long interview with her that they keep cutting up into little segments during the day. And I mean, if she had them still, it felt like CNN was sucking her balls. Because it was just like, it's like, why are you asking somebody who's so incredibly unqualified for this job to be on here, except for the fact that she's part of the Kardashian family? So if this is a revenge thing, it's working perfectly.
Chris?
First off, if we're talking scandal, wasn't her transition supposed to be in spite of the Kardashians? Wasn't that supposed to be like
that's what they had said, yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So I feel like this is not it. And it seems, though, it's so weird, though, because every time it's not one of the girls, like, trying to do something outrageous. Like, anytime it's a guy, like, we had Kanye trying to run for president, and now, like, Caitlyn's trying to run for governor. And it seems like anytime anybody tries to, like, get out of the realm of entertainment and, like, advertisement and all that other bullshit, they are automatically deemed as, like, crazy, or they're doing it in spite of, like, it's some kind of condition that they're doing it for. It's like, maybe she is just an egomaniac and just thinks that she can run shit, and that's pretty much like the that's the idea that's kind of the whole basis of all of you guys' entertainment is your fucking egos. That's really all it is.
Ian, did you want to say something?
Oh, I just don't know how it would spite the Kardashians just if she's running. Why do they care?
Taxes.
She'll probably raise the taxes.
Well, I think to spite them is because the show is ending. Although I don't believe she's been on the show the past few seasons, but she's not part of that orbit and hasn't been for a while. And her reality show didn't really pan out into much of anything at the end of the day. And so I think, you know, once the Kardashians kind of all go their separate ways, she has even less hold in like a public realm sense. So doing this is a huge attention getter, grabber to, you know, keep her name floating around in the press. So like we were saying, you know, Sharon, or that's, as Chris said, it's all a game to keep your name present in top of people's mind. So everybody may hate that she's running, but everybody keeps talking about her, just like we are right now. Oh, no, we're feeding into the cycle. Oh, shit. yeah, it's to, and maybe despite them because she feels shunned, but I'm unclear about, like, the status of, like, their familial relationship with the Jenner girls and any, I know she has other children too, but I can't remember who they are.
I just, you know, to me, it just seems like they have no relationship because it's all for the cameras. Like they just, you know, I don't think anything about them is sincere.
It's very forced and fake.
They had her on the show. Now she's no longer part of the show. So it's like, okay, whatever. Like, you know, that's what I think.
I think it all stopped being truly parent-child relationships the minute they started pumping everything out for the cameras. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay, so the next story I am all over. Courtney Stodden says Chrissy Teigen privately DM'd
her right now
and told her to kill herself. So today, I guess Chrissy Teigen came out and said, and I wrote this down, that in the past she was an insecure, attention-seeking troll. And I
still is.
She still is.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm like, really, girlfriend? Like, it took you this long to... And did this story come out, like, yesterday or the day before yesterday, too? She wasn't saying anything.
And she held on to it, and then she, you know, so she apologized and said she reached out in private. Because the... It wasn't DMs, it was public tweets that she was putting out that Courtney Stodden should kill herself, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't just... It wasn't that she was even trying to do it secretly. It was... She's doing it on a very public forum. And then... Courtney, I think, did respond and say, well, it's all very nice. I appreciate the apology, but she never actually reached out in private, like she said. But even so, fine, like, more or less we're okay, but not really.
Yeah, today she also said that, you know, she tried to reach out to her privately, but now she's going to give her a public apology since this is all out in the public. Yeah. And I'm like, I mean, wait, why does Chrissy Teigen not do anything in public? You know?
Yeah.
I don't understand the fascination with her. I'm sorry. Like, I just
find her
the biggest attention whore. I mean, that's what she is. Like, everything has to be like, you know, oh, look how relatable I am to everything. Oh, I'm this, I'm that. I don't know. There's just something about her that I've never liked. I think she's very fake, in my opinion. Elizabeth, did you want to chime in? And I'll go.
Well, ahead. Yeah, I used to, like, kind of like her and think she was, like, funny. I never thought she was super relatable because I knew that a lot of that was a put on, but I was like, well, she's got a good sense of humor though, and knows what to put out to kind of be funny and charming that way. But then, like, she melodramatically quit Twitter and then came back. Like, she was like, I can't do the tweets anymore. It's too much. And then she came back like a month later and acted like barely, you know, she barely made the declaration. And I was like, okay, either truly, like, when people quit Twitter, they quit Twitter,
and
usually.
So it's part of who she is.
But I mean, yeah, it all feeds into this cycle and probably wasn't getting the same engagement on Instagram. I don't know. But there is, like, I get your feeling, though, too, Veronica. There is, like, a try-hardness of, like, I'm just one of the... I'm a girly girl, but I'm not. I'm just one of the boys, too, and I'm so aggressive. Just, like, it's all very forced at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I think she passed the tipping point of, like, maybe genuinely funny into, like, oh, I was doing all right with these, and now I have to do this, and it's all very, very much a put on.
Yeah, you know, and don't get me wrong, like, I know, you know, when she, like, was popping back at Trump, and, like, she had a really good con. I mean, she got into a fight with Donald Trump. I mean, that was just so bizarre. But I was like, you know what, good for her. Like, you know, she was going after him. But she, I mean, if you really go back and look through some of her tweets, she really is mean to some people. Like, she's, but she thinks she's being, like, cute and funny, and, oh, I'm so funny and witty, and she can be. But just because, you know, I like the way she dealt with Trump doesn't mean I'm going to be, like, okay with some of the other things that she said to other people just because she's fucking, you know, Chrissy Teigen and everybody seems to love her. So, I don't know. That, those are my thoughts. Pete, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. The only reason why I could even care about Chrissy Teigen was because of the fight she had with Trump, because those were fun to watch, because here's a woman who's basically best known for being able to smile at a camera and be married to John Legend, who's picked a fight with the most powerful man in the world, and she's winning. So I like that. But everything else about it, just personally, I don't get it. I mean, like, you know, maybe like when love does something, because all of me doesn't love all of her. You know, I don't see what it is about her that that is so special. Personally, I don't think she's all that pretty either. I don't know why. Like, and I'm not here to like attack somebody's looks, but I'm saying, I see people falling all over themselves talk about what a beautiful woman she is. I don't get it. But on the other side, to be fair, if you've ever seen an interview with Courtney Stodden, sorry, I didn't mean to say Stodden, you probably realize that if there's any one person you should tell to kill himself, it would probably be her. Not that she should, but she's annoying enough that like I could see why somebody might.
Yeah, but that's not the point, though. The point is that she still said this to her, and that was wrong. And I also want to add one thing. Delilah used to go to daycare with Chrissy Teigen's dog. So ooh. I got to tell, yes, and I did have, I was in the shop with her one time, and that's all I'm going to say. So, yeah. I know.
I thought you said she was attractive.
You know what? She wasn't bad looking. I'm not saying that I think she's, you know, she's not attractive, but no, she was very tall. And then I started talking to the person that I knew there about other stuff. But anyways, yeah, she used to go to daycare with their dog that they keep locked up every single day. So, okay. That's all I'm going to say again. Why have a dog? Ian.
I didn't have anything. No.
Oh, I thought you had it. Sorry, Joe.
I think it's funny because we talked about this earlier in the week, but I watched The Mitchells versus the Machines last night on Netflix, which is a really good movie. But her and John Legend play the neighbors, and they literally play the people we are talking about, like the horrible, like, Instagrammy family like that. And it's just hilarious. And it was like they're going to him going, listen, you two are the only two we want for this character. And they're like, oh, wow, really? That's great. No, we wrote this for you. And you watch, it's like, oh, I get it. Oh, and one other thing real quick, Pete. I know you were talking about Courtney Stodden, but I really want to give her a break because she was underage when this guy came along and grabbed her and was obviously grooming her and doing some horrible things to her mentally and putting her in a really weird place when she was at a very vulnerable age in her life. She was 16. Now, granted, her mom shouldn't have signed off on any of this stuff and things like that. And I'm glad that she got out of her situation. She's older now, and I think she realizes what's going on. So I really want to give Courtney Stodden a bit of a break on this.
Yeah, but you know what? I agree that she was really young, and it wasn't really like a healthy situation for her to be put into. But if you've ever seen like the posts that she puts out and the things that she does, she did not in any way, shape, or form get hurt by the idea of being in that relationship. I mean, at least from a standpoint of visibility.
I disagree. I can't know
who she is because
I read an interview with her the other day.
It was because the bad guy from Green Mile married her. That's the only reason why we even know who she is.
You want to hear a creepo out? He's going after another 15-year-old right now in England. Huh? That guy.
Yeah, so you can't say there's no damage to her.
I'm saying is that clearly she's not any different than any of these influencer types that are trying to find a way to become more famous. And guess what? She figured out a way. Marry somebody who's devoid of any sense of what of right and wrong, and you know, and just stay in a relationship for a couple of years with them and milk it for all it's worth.
I think she's an example
of what influencers want to do.
Yeah, I have to disagree.
I disagree. Yeah.
Okay.
Chris.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know who this woman is. But I do know that we all got to remember when it comes to Chrissy Teigen, this woman is a drunk, okay? Like, we all forget that this woman is, like, plastered 98% of her life.
She actually stopped, apparently.
Really? Again, I don't know much about
it. No, she hasn't. Because here's the thing. If she had, you wouldn't see all this kind of trolling behavior or this kind of, like...
Well, I mean, real recently, within, like, the past year, she stopped.
Like, it's like, watching her tweets and the things she said, shit like that, it's like if you gave a drunk frat boy a million followers and then told him to tweet shit after a kegger. Like, that's really all it is. It's a drunk person talking. And I'm not saying that that's an excuse. Like, it still makes her a bad person. But, like, a lot of that shit came from the fact that she is drunk, like, 98% of the time. So... You know, of course she's going to say some bizarre shit and tell a 16-year-old, you know, that to kill herself or, like, talk about possible pedophilic shit on Twitter. Like, it's like, people keep forgetting that this woman clearly has an issue with the adult beverages. So, like, maybe somebody should, like, if somebody really cares about her in her life, take her phone away or, like, delete her account so she can't tweet anymore. Like, that's the best thing you could do for this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I don't know about her being a drunk. I mean, I've seen her drinking on posts before.
She has admitted to having an alcohol problem. And like I said, within the last year or so, she has formally stopped drinking. Not gone to rehab or AA, but like chosen to just stop drinking. At least it's true. So she says online.
She also formally got on Twitter and you saw what happened to there. So.
What I find really funny about her, you know, and again, it's probably one of the reasons why so many people don't like her, is that she picks a fight with the President of the United States, which means she's alienating herself from at least 30 to 40% of the country. And then she has a miscarriage. Was it a miscarriage? Yeah.
She had pregnancy.
And she assumes people aren't going to say stupid shit to her at that point. And you know what? In the real world, that would be the right thing to do. But we don't live in the real world. We live in this world. And so for her to then all of a sudden go, oh, my God, I got to get off social media because it's so unhealthy. Guess what? The only reason why anybody said anything bad to you is because you pissed off 30 to 40% of the country. And again, I'm happy you did, but still.
I don't think it's just that she pissed off 30 to 40% of the country. Anything, and this is true of any celebrity mom or really anyone, any mom anywhere posting anything about their children, is someone will come in with a comment telling you you're doing something wrong. You could be like bathing the kid in like the most perfect water and they'd be like, you're holding the kid. Like there's no winning as a parent and a mom in particular. Somebody will tell you you are doing it wrong.
Fair enough. Okay, so Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost are breaking up because he's insecure about her past relationships. So that was another gossip story today.
Not real.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I missed another part. And is miserable when he's not on stage. So...
That part might be true because as anybody who's alive, like performs live or has done any kind of live performance, like if you enjoy it, yeah, you kind of feel weird off stage. But here's the thing. There's no way this could be a real thing because you're dating Scarlett Johansson. You knew what the fuck you were getting into when you signed up. There's no way you didn't know that. I'm sorry. That's like anybody who dates like Angelina Jolie, you know what you would expect when you're dating somebody of that fame and you've seen their track record. So if he didn't understand that from the get-go, then what the fuck is he doing?
Mm-hmm. Pete?
I mean, if I was the two of them, regardless of whether this is true or false, I'd be thrilled that anybody is talking about us because they are like the least like interesting celebrity couple in the history of celebrity couples. It's like they got together, no one cared. They got married. No one cared. They'll probably have children at some point. And guess what? The same amount of people will care about that as every other part of this. So, I mean, like, great. Somebody's telling a story about them, regardless, again, whether it's true or not. It's just I've never seen, like, this little amount of excitement based on two well-known people getting together. It just seems so weird because people seem to fall all over themselves about any celebrities getting together with anybody. And now you've got two. You know, like, okay, Colin Jost is not the biggest celebrity in the world, but Scarlett Johansson arguably is one of them. So you would think that there would be more around them, but no, nothing.
Wasn't she married to Ryan Reynolds?
Yes.
They dated. I don't think they were married.
They were married.
Oh, they were married. Okay.
Like, I do remember that couple, but like you're saying with them, I really like, again, I don't know much about them together as a couple. Joe.
All right. Well, first of all, isn't that every celebrity's dream to be not talked about? To just be able to have a normal life, really? Especially when it's somebody couple. As big
they're
as Scarlett Johansson.
Not today's world, but they're not. But,
yes and no.
And here's the whole thing. You know, Scarlett Johansson had another husband in between there that no one talks about either. There was that French journalist guy. That's too, right, she was married to. That's what she has.
Didn't go well.
Well, because I wanted to ask is, are they actually breaking up or not? Or is this just a rumor of that part?
It's just a gossip story.
Oh, it's just a gossip story. We don't know if they're breaking up or not. Because,
of course,
that's
the whole point of this.
My thing is more, Scarlett is not having a good track record, if that's the case. Like, she gets, most of her marriages are only lasting a year or so. And to me, that's like a bigger, like, okay, what's the deal with that? You know, I don't think it's like what her past. Who cares about your past thing? If you love someone, you love someone. That's not a big deal. But that's why I wanted to ask: is are they actually breaking up? Because if that's the case, and it's like, wow, I'm like the longest marriage Scarlett would have been that year and a half with the French guy where she had the baby, and that's it. Like every other relationship she's had, barely lasts a year. So what's going on?
Elizabeth.
Maybe nobody likes that she's really chill about Woody Allen. that might be a bit of a problem for people. It is for me.
She wouldn't let anybody visit her table at the premiere. Like everybody else was all like, "Oh, you can come up and say hi," and she wouldn't let anyone near.
Which premiere?
Oh, really?
Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Oh.
Like so there was like the celebrities were all these different tables and you could walk up and say hi and ask questions and things like that. Mm-hmm. But she had two bodyguards who wouldn't let anyone walk up to her.
Yeah, well.
Joe, I hate to correct you, but it's Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
And by the way, it's Colin Jost.
That's how important he is. That
I don't even know how to say his last name.
This is what's so funny is, so people generally still like Scarlett Johansson, but she has whiffed it bad on the Woody Allen stuff, on the, you know, the Asian character, you know, playing an Asian character as a white woman stuff, and just kind of in general that business. And then nobody seems to really like Colin Jost either, like as a head writer on SNL. I know I sure don't. I don't care for him much, and his steerage of that ship in the slightest. And so it's like two kind of unlikable people got together, and yeah, but as Pete said, no one really cares. And so part of me is like, maybe they deserve each other. I hope they don't break up.
I mean, if you think about it, it's like this is like a real life ending to like a rom com, because usually if you watch a rom com, these are two people who are absolutely awful human beings, but they get together. And we're all like, oh, that's awesome. This is what happens. This is a real life rom com couple. Two awful people get together, blossom.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I see Colin Jost, because I'm going to say his name right now, it sometimes makes me think that if he'd been around 30 years ago, he would have been one of the guys who was against Delta House in Animal House.
Yeah, he's got that wasp vibe.
He would have been one of the bad guys.
And he has like tried to play into that, but it's never played well. I think he doesn't like get how to do the joke of like, I am a very waspy-looking, preppy-looking guy, but at the same time, I don't undermine that in any way, shape, or form.
I gotta say, this is for every single guy that was in our comedy sketch writers room. Colin Jost got the golden ticket. Like, you never ever think of a comedy sketch writer like getting somebody like Scarlett Johansson, and he screwed it up. You can't come to the meetings anymore, okay? No more, you're out. No more coffee and donuts for you, pal.
You blew it!
So our final story is about a woman that I adore, Jane Fonda, 83 years old. Supposedly, she's fed up with men, and she's going to start dating women. Good for you, Jane. Whatever makes you happy. Chris.
I just, one more time, how old is she again?
She's 83.
What are you doing? What are you possibly going to be doing when you're dating these women? When you're doing this, like what activity could you be doing at that age? Even if you were with men, what possible activities are you going to do? Playing backgammon?
Well, Sarah Polly's married to that old lady, wasn't it?
Yeah, to Holland Taylor, man.
To Holland Taylor.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah, but what are you doing?
Whatever the hell she fucking wants, hey. Chris.
Why does it have to be sexual all the time?
Yeah.
She wants to.
Maybe she just wants companionship.
Yeah. You know,
wait, what's she gonna do? Is she going to convalescent homes and she's trolling those hallways? Because who's trying?
You think Jake Fonda can't get a younger woman?
She keeps getting arrested for protesting protesting, you know, lack of like climate change policies.
Maybe she'll hook up with some like granola, like tree hugger girl.
Yeah,
Elizabeth.
Also, do we really think this is the first time Jane Fonda's ever thought about or like potentially hooked up with women?
Oh, she's dead.
Girlfriend was around during the free love era, man. Yeah. It was all good times. Everybody was on drugs. It didn't matter. We're breaking down the walls, man.
We're talking about that Barbarella set.
Dennis Hopper was there, man.
Barbarella set was probably kicking.
She was in a movie with J-Lo.
Elizabeth, save that for your cameo video.
I'm still not accepted on cameo.
No, none of us are.
I don't think we passed. I don't think we were up to snuff, which is a shame.
They would have to send us a letter, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm sure they don't.
Mm-hmm. Pete, and then we'll finish with Joe. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, my dad is 83 years old, and the last thing I would want to imagine is anybody wanting to have anything to do with his wrinkled old balls.
By the way, can I just say, mom's watching us right now. My mother-in-law's watching us right now. So,
oh, God.
Your dad's balls.
My mother's watching this?
Yes, she is.
My mom's been watching too, and she actually doesn't care much for Jane Fonda because she thinks she let men dominate her life too much. But I consider that a symptom of the era that she came from and various other things. And we've had surprisingly a lot of arguments about this.
I mentioned my mother agrees about my father's wrinkled old balls too. But the reality is, I mean, listen, Jane Fonda is a very attractive woman for her age and was a very attractive woman when she was younger. But, at 83, you know, just be happy, do what you're going to do with your life. You don't have to tell everybody anymore. It's okay. You can move. Just do
your job. She's not telling anybody. It's rumors.
Okay, well, it's rumors.
We're telling people.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently it's us.
And I say, shine on, you crazy diamond.
Okay,
if this is true, I do want to see that first, like, red carpet appearance. Because here's the thing. I feel like low-key, she's gonna be like, if she dates anybody, she's gonna do like the craziest, and it's gonna be like a trans woman. Like, that's the first person she's gonna date out the gate to like bring way more attention to it, because there's no way she's just gonna date, there's no way Jane Fonda at 86 years old is just gonna date some regular born with a vagina girl. Like, no, she's gotta go hardcore into this. It's gotta be a trans woman of color. Like, that's what it's gonna be when she's walking that stage. I guarantee it.
You mean Laverne Cox and her are gonna hook up?
Oh, what? Right there. Bang. Right there. I'm telling you. 100%.
I'd love to see that. Joe, let's finish it off and then we're gonna finally go on to our main story. Go ahead, Joe.
By the way, this whole show, the only thing that Pete's mom is mad about is that he said Colin Jost's name wrong. women at that age outlive men, and if you've ever been, like, my mom lives in the retirement community, she has her own house and stuff like that, but everybody that lives there is retired and stuff like that, and basically all the women just get together in coffee clutch anyway because all their husbands have died. My dad passed away and all of that. They all get every Sunday. In fact, I got her for Mother's Day wine glasses because all the ladies go to different houses each time and drink wine and gossip. And really, how is this any different? She's just getting together with some companionship with some women. I think at that age, it might be, but I doubt sex is really involved in it. It's just a lovely companionship between women. And so, listen, I think it's happening a lot more than you think. So maybe Jane Fonda is just bringing it to the surface. So, hey, all best to her. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so this morning, Ellen DeGeneres announced that she will end her daytime talk show at the end of next season, saying that the show is no longer a challenge for her, and she wants to find new things to challenge her professionally. So last year, several allegations were made against Ellen and the people running her show, Who wants to remind us about some of those allegations and what they were about for those that don't know? Anybody want to chime in? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, well, that she's mean and her staff is mean. Like the senior producing, senior and executive producing staff are, you know, cruel. There's sexual harassment and just overall like belittlement and terrible working conditions. She also, when things shut down for the pandemic, I think they didn't pay crew when they could have, kind of a thing. Just overall, like, piece of shit behavior. Okay.
So now, considering everything that came to light about her and some of the things that you just mentioned, Elizabeth, do you guys think that this was ultimately her decision? Or was this a decision that she made before someone else could? Ian, let's start with you.
I think it was her decision, but only because she knew her reputation wasn't going to recover. And yeah, I don't, the whole thing about it's not a challenge anymore. What was challenging about it before? She literally would come out, dance for a bit, throw some shit at people, and then have somebody come out and scare them. That was her whole bit. I mean, that's not a challenge. I'm sorry. She'd do it for what, 20 years? No, I think she just knows that she's fucked up and everybody's kind of sick of her shit.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you 100% on that. Pete.
Well, according to the stories, the show's lost over 1 million viewers in the last 3 months since it came back from hiatus. And so it probably at the end of the day was her decision to do, but it was probably her decision to do because a lot of people were telling her it's not going to be your decision to make very much longer. And so make the decision now, go out on your own terms, or have them do basically what they did to Johnny Carson a zillion years ago and just start floating the rumors about her being replaced until she can't, you know, deny it any longer and then has to leave. You know, at least this way, it you know, if she left where it was decision made for her, then it's always going to have the stigma of, well, okay, it's because everybody said I'm a bad person. But now she'll disappear for a couple of years, hope in that time, you know, people will forget that she had this minor scandal in her life. Because it really, at the end of the day, is a minor scandal. Because anybody who thinks that most celebrities aren't really nasty to the people that work for them, they should be shocked about that. Like, they shouldn't be shocked at this point because it's true. But... yeah, I mean, she'll disappear for a little while. Hope she gets like that. We miss her. We haven't seen her in a long time kind of vibe. And she'll come back and do something else, whether it's all of a sudden stand-up comedy will be a challenge for her, you know, or a new TV show will be a challenge for her if she gets any of those. But yeah, this has nothing to do with a challenge. This has to do with not getting kicked out on her own.
Yeah, it's like, how many times have you seen this, like in a movie premise or on a TV show where they, you know, they go to you and they say, you better quit now. You know, that's the best thing to do. I mean, it's like a premise, like for a show. Chris, did you have your hand up?
Oh, yeah. But Pete basically just said everything I was going to say. Like, yeah, it definitely seems fabricated. But here's the thing, too. Like, what Pete was saying that actually might be smart, too, is like, if she gets out now, once she kind of has control of story, she can, you know, those rumors can kind of be somewhat put to bed in the sense of like, because if she just got fired, everybody just like, yep, okay, obviously it was true. But her leaving on her own kind of makes it like, eh, maybe not. But here's the thing too, she actually stands to make more money quitting like this, because if she does leave for a while and then comes back and does stand up like Dave Chappelle did, oh dude, Netflix will probably be throwing money at her to do a special. Amazon will probably, like, all these streaming services will be throwing money at her to try to get her, like, if she decides to go back to the sitcom world and tries to write a show, oh, networks have to, they're going crazy trying to give her money to do that. So like, she actually stands to make like quadruple the money probably that what she's making doing this run-of-the-mill, you know, hour show every single day, then going back to do her own shit and making money.
Good point. Elizabeth?
Yeah, it's definitely like the writing's on the wall, and I'll go out while it's still on my own terms, like everybody said. I do find the challenge part interesting, because yeah, it definitely isn't a challenge anymore. It may have been a challenge at the beginning, and I mean, I don't buy that's the reason she's leaving, obviously, but I just think it's an interesting thing, because it just made me think of, I got to see Craig Ferguson years ago during like a podcast taping, and he was talking about it, about taking on the Late Late Show at the time, and he'd been doing it for a few years, and he kept doing things differently, though. He, like, would do certain things in an open and then stopped doing them. Like, he liked to do the puppet thing for a while, but then he didn't. And he was talking that people would get upset and be like, well, I like the puppets, bring back the puppets. He's like, I have to do this for me, because if I have to do the same, you know, I will get bored with it and I won't, you know, find the enjoyment in it. And he even said, like, Chris Rock had talked to him about it, and that Chris Rock was like, I don't think I could do something like that every fucking night, because you have to, it's producing a lot of content and you don't get to hone and make it your own because you have to do it every night. And so I kind of buy her that as an actual problem for her, because she did not do much innovation at all. Once the format of that show got really set, dancing and the you know, cute stories and the scares, like Ian, all the things Ian said earlier. And then she just settled into that rhythm and, like, kind of phoned it in. And, you know, I can see that because she was a good stand-up in the beginning, I can see that maybe eating away at her a little bit. But also, she did a recent stand-up special on Netflix not that long ago, and it wasn't terribly well-received, because I think she tried to joke about not being relatable anymore, and it didn't really go well, because part of her whole persona is, I am so relatable, and Dancing Ellen and stuff. And even, like, people have always asked Eddie Murphy, why don't you do stand-up anymore? He's like, I don't have anything relatable to do stand-up about. I have nannies and kids and money and car. Like, the things that made me a good stand-up in the beginning, I no longer have. I'm not living that life, so it's not going to make for, at least in his opinion of his material, going to make a good comedy show. And so that's why I kind of doubt in a way she'll go back to stand-up, because I think she's in that same boat now, and has been obviously for quite some time, that she won't really be able to be like, oh, live a retired life in my giant fucking mansion that you saw during the pandemic, you know, with my glass walls and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was the angle of it that interested me, because as everybody already said, we all know the real reason she quit.
Right. So she had 16 successful years of her show. And I think, was it Pete, did you say that her viewership has gone down?
Yes, significantly.
So does this prove then that, you know, audiences won't blindly follow celebrities if they get hit with extremely negative press? Like, what does that prove in terms of an audience, Pete?
Well, I mean, I think it's the kind of audience. I mean, her audience is predominantly housewives. And the thing is, and they're probably more towards the middle of the road housewives. They're not probably highly educated or that stupid. Like, they're somewhere in the middle. And those people probably just don't want to be, you know, associated with somebody that's not likable. And I think that the veneer came off in the last year. It's funny because there was always rumors. Like, I remember reading rumors about her from a long time ago, and that there were actually guests that used to come that used to do her show that said she had a mean streak in her, and that sometimes she'd ask questions that were meant to piss off people, but she wanted to see if they would react on air with them. So it's not like it was a secret, but when it came out in such a public way, I mean, I think her choices were to either just end then, because it would have just been kind of like the way to do it. But for her career, that would have hurt her career way more, because it would seem like she was bowing to, like, this negative thing, and that's how it ended. Or to kind of go forward, hope people are going to stick around and then see what happens, but knowing that if they don't come back, this was going to be the route she would end up taking. And so, yeah, I mean, I think if you like lose the confidence of, like, that middle ground housewife, you're just done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's now people are less likely to blindly follow celebrities because the stories can come out in so much more detail than, like, maybe back in the day, where you may, like, you know, maybe somebody would tell you something bad about a celebrity you like, but you didn't have the internet to go on this, like, a deep dive search and find all the articles and posts and everything to kind of back up that point. You might just hear that and be like, well, shucks, still going to the theater to see them or going to watch them on TV, and it doesn't matter. I think now, because everything is, you know, can be pumped out so publicly, I think it's, people are less likely to blindly follow celebrities to a certain point. But I mean, people will still follow some celebrities and politicians blindly, you know, straight into the fire if it, in some cases,
yeah.
Regardless of how terrible the things they say or do are because of whatever thing. So, but like Pete said, I think the significant chunk that she would need to continue to succeed is gone.
Yeah. Have you guys ever like stopped following a celebrity that you really admired because you found something out about them that was negative, or you saw like a tweet or something that you've, you know, that you just didn't sit right with you? Cause that recently happened to me.
Yeah. I can't think of a good example off the top of my head, but there's been a few that have been like, it, you know, kind of either unfollowed on Twitter or kind of stepped back from like,
yeah,
reading about them or even like watching their movies. But unfortunately I can't think of who it is off the top of my head.
Like I was telling Veronica the other day that I was switching around the channels and I popped onto Fox News for a second because I like to torture myself, and that John Taffer from the Bar Rescue was on there, and you know what? And I actually like that show.
I fucking love Bar Rescue so much.
It's the one chance you see for an adult male to potentially have a heart attack on camera
at any given
moment. But what he was talking about how terrible it is that all these restaurants and bars can't get people to come back to work because of Biden's plan with the unemployment insurance. And you know what? And what he kept not saying was, well, maybe if these fucking bars and restaurants would pay their employees more, people wouldn't think $300 is enough reason not to go to work. Mm-hmm. It kind of turned me off of him right away. And that's, like I said, that's a show that I used to watch for fun every so often, but I probably won't watch it now after that.
Yeah. It's really shameful. Like when you find something out about someone that you like really admire or that you follow. Danny, did you have an example of someone that you stopped following or?
What's his name? Jesse Smollett.
Oh, Jesse Smollett.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's an easy one.
That's a really justifiable canceled one.
Here's the thing, though, but like that, with that situation, like I don't think he. Here's the thing, like even the people who follow, like even the people who watch the show and shit like that, all the black people were like, "Fam, this is fake." Like we heard a story. Like the stories, it was just too. It literally sounded like somebody who is out of touch with how human beings actually interact. Like, a corporate person wrote the story of what happened to Jesse Smollett. It was like, oh, this is what happened. It was a Trump supporter with a noose, and he said, you're the gay guy from this show. It's like...
That implies they watch Empire in the first place.
Well, but that's just, like the difference, too. Like, if it's something that, oh, I've heard this about, you know, Ellen, or I've heard this, or if it's actually something that you've seen, that you've read with your own eyes, or that you heard with your own ears, I think it does change
things. You know, but what happened with him is, here's the thing too, is like, he didn't stop after he was caught in a lie. Like, he still tried to say that it really happened to him and tried to like dive into it and say like, you know, this really, you know, that's what really screwed him up, because then the evidence came out that he was a complete piece of shit liar and that none of this ever happened. And that's what killed him. It really did. That's what killed it for me too. So I know where Danny's coming from, because like, don't double down, bro. Just admit you were wrong. You were trying to get some more bread. We would have respected you for that.
Right.
And for me, with Ellen, like I still follow her, but I wanted to cancel her as well, just because she's so mean spirited. If you go back and look at a lot of the scares and with some of the guests, it's just like it comes from a really dark place, I think. She's not nice. She manipulates the situation just for her sheer pleasure, even putting her own producer going through these scary mazes when you know he doesn't like it, you know?
Yeah,
it's just gotten to a point where it's ridiculous, but at the same time, she's done so much good too. You know, some of her shows have been dedicated to pregnant women, for example. You know, I can get past like the women and their, you know, during these giveaways for Christmas. You know, I think that's a little overblown, but she actually has done a lot of good, which is the only reason I still follow her, to see if something positive can come out of this.
It is. It's tough when you see that, when you see both sides like that.
I just want to ask Danny if by any chance he stopped following Taylor Lautner, John Mayer, Jake Gyllenhaal, Harry Styles, Calvin Harris, and Tom Hiddleston.
For what they did to Taylor.
Oh,
what they did to Taylor, Danny. Like,
how could you forget?
Jake Gyllenhaal is one of the best actors in Hollywood.
He's like, no, I got. Yeah, Danny's like, you hell say no. That? I got some bops out of that shit. Keep at it.
Yeah, just recently, I had to stop following one of my favorite actors, Isai Morales, for some of the things he's been saying, and it's just things that just I don't agree with, and I think are pretty dangerous, and it's really sad because I almost ended up with one of his dogs. That's another story.
What?
So we kind of had like a relationship. It was weird. Like it was kind of weird. But anyways,
but to answer you, Pete, you know those breakups led to some really great music. So I can't be mad at that.
Fair enough.
Okay, Elizabeth, can you hang on to your comment?
Yeah, it's really not that relevant. That's a
very important question since we're like wrapping this up with Ellen. So, I mean, it's undeniable to say that she has been a trailblazer, not only for women in comedy, but also for gay people in entertainment. Do you guys think that this is going to like tarnish her reputation for that or for what she did, you know, like I said, for women or for gay people in entertainment? Elizabeth, did you want to?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm thinking someone else go first.
You know what? No, I don't think so. Because here's the great thing about with all this access, like Elizabeth was speaking of earlier, with all this access to things that come out and getting the full story of the information, this has nothing to do.
Oh, there's a fire there, Chris. Get out.
This take is so fuego. I'm scared. no, there's no way. I don't think that because of. It's just such an isolated incident, which is so isolated to her and the way that she conducted herself and the way that she ran shit on the show. So it's more of her that has nothing to do with her being a lesbian or anything of that, or being a woman. That is, she's just a mean person and she's getting her just due. So you can't put that on, you know, what organization she's connected to or you know, I mean, none of that because it has nothing to do with her being a lesbian. Like, you know, if she is saying like she was this mean because they were, you know, she felt shunned or felt ashamed about who she was as a lesbian, that might be something. But like, you can't really say that when you got an entire organization that you're the head of that is under you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Joe,
you know, you don't have to be in front of the camera to still have that kind of power or authority here in Hollywood. And her production company is going to continue, and I'm sure she's going to be doing a lot of stuff like that. And that's still going to be important because she's going to be, you know, a lesbian woman in charge of this of a really huge production company. And I'm pretty sure that most of the, like Pete said, there's not going to be anybody having any qualms to work with her or work with that company in that regard. So I still think that that's going to be a big deal. You know, she's still going to be a player in this town just because she's not necessarily in front of the camera. So I don't see that there's really too much of a problem there. Now, to be honest with you, if that's what she's going to get into, then she's got the perfect attitude for it because most producers I know are pretty are pretty much in that same boat. So, you know, she just found her niche. But no, then nothing's going to change in that way, I don't think.
Mm-hmm, okay. Pete, then I'll go.
I think it's kind of like smart that she didn't decide that at the end of this season she was going to leave. And that she's giving herself a year send off, because if you look at the history again of like talk shows in, you know, on television, shows go through these ups and downs all the time. And like, you know, people today, people will always say that Johnny Carson was the ultimate king of late night television. But you have to remember, NBC was trying to run him out of that job for about 5 years prior to that happening. And when he finally decided, he gave himself a year and a half of goodbyes, and it was only because the only reason why they were trying to get rid of him is because people stopped watching. And in that last year and a half, all of a sudden people realized, oh my God, we're going to lose Johnny in a few months. Let's all watch again. And his ratings were great. And then he left at the level that he deserved to leave at. And I think Ellen DeGeneres is the same way. I think she'll leave. And if she's smart, she'll actually leave. She'll go away for a little while. Maybe she'll write a book, but it won't be a book about her life, like, or at least it won't be about like this part of her life. She'll do some producing, like Joe's saying. But if she tries to stay in the mainstream, that's where I think she's going to have a problem, because I think until until we have a reason to miss her, I think people aren't going to. And so I think that's the problem. So she just has to be smart about it. And I'm sure she is, because she wouldn't have gotten this far in her life if she didn't, A, have a fairly good sense of what was good for her, but also she didn't have a good team of people around her to tell her, hey, maybe you should be doing this versus that.
Yeah, she's not pulling a Leno, so she's not that going for
it. She's not Jesse Smollett.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I don't think it'll tarnish the legacy too much. Because, I mean, we know there are others who have done far worse, who people are still like, well, we still got good stuff out of them. So, you know, and it is harder, though, because people are less forgiving of a woman, and certainly probably of a gay woman in that sense, because you have to be more perfect and better and nicer than guys or straight guys and whatnot. But I think... the trailblazing is undeniable to a certain point, and it'll be, you know, maybe not as grand a legacy as she might have wanted, but it'll still be there. It'll be like the history is undeniable. And in part of it, some people may come to admire the fact that, like, well, she might have been a bitch, but she got shit done, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, not the most, you know, healthy attitude about somebody, and not the healthiest way to live your life. But, you know, not in these instances, because, like I said, it was other senior staff too. But, you know, women who go far tend to be branded as being colder or bitchier or meaner when maybe they weren't. They just asked for more.
Okay. So. Fair. Pete.
You know, it kind of dawned on me just now when we were talking that if you think about it, and this probably is where the legacy part comes in, like, she had to be really good at this for a very long time, because this show didn't just appear one day. This show was kind of a hand-me-down from Caroline Ray, who got it as a hand-me-down from Rosie O'Donnell. And both of those women, well, Rosie crashed and burned, and Caroline Ray really could not sustain the audience that she wanted. And neither one of them was anywhere close to 17, 18, or 19 years. And so, you know, to be a woman in entertainment who wields the kind of power that she's had, because look, you know, when you're going into people's households every day, 5 days a week, for 17 years now and 19 by the or 18 years now, and by the time this is over, 19 years, and your target demographic are women who probably spend about at least 40 to 50% of the money that their economy brings in, she wielded a lot of power. And so that alone, I mean, like, that's, you know, for, you could say whatever you want about everything else. I mean, yeah, she was really brave, because she came out at a time when coming out wasn't something that people, in her position did, especially a network television star, and she paid for it. She lost that show, and she had a couple of years where nothing was happening for her, and then she reinvented herself with this show. But yeah, I mean, it's not like she just walked into this hugely successful thing and just kept it going. She really had to kind of pick up from the mess that, I guess, Caroline Ray had left her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So my final question tonight before we go is, who, if anyone, should replace her? Who would you like to see take over or have their own daytime show like hers? Danny, let's start with you.
I think they're probably going to give that time slot to Kelly Clarkson.
Well,
you think so?
I like Kelly.
She's been doing really well.
Someone to have their own talk show, and this is just me, like, you know, wishful thinking, America Ferrera.
Okay. Pete, what about you?
Well, I mean, Danny's partially right. From the reports that are coming out now, and again, it's really early, so a lot can change in a year and a half, but they're saying Kelly Clarkson is more than likely going to move into that time slot, but the production company is probably going to talk to Tiffany Haddish about taking over the show, because she's guest hosted a lot for her. And apparently in the last year and a half or 2 years, her ratings have been at least on par with what Ellen's were when she hosted the show. So they're saying that she's probably most likely, and that's why they're kind of happy that she's been doing that other thing with the kids say the darndest things because it's giving her some of that TV credential that she didn't have to kind of set herself up for this.
And it's like a cleaner.
I like that. I think she would be great.
Family friendly.
I love her a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chris.
So in reality, I'm with where Pete is. I think it's going to be Tiffany Haddish. And I know Tiffany, so what's up if you're listening? Big up to you. I hope you do get the gig. My dream for this show, I think it'd be fun to watch Melissa McCarthy do this show because I think that she would have a blast doing it. I think she would bring a lot more creativity to it. And just like whenever she does appear on talk shows, makes them more fun. Like she actually makes Jimmy Fallon show watchable when she's on it, when she does like the lip sync battles and shit like that. So like, I think she would be a good, if she wasn't, you know, if she didn't have a flourishing movie and, you know, his career, it would be cool to see her do that.
That would be fun too. I would definitely watch if it was Melissa McCarthy too. Elizabeth.
Well, you're missing the obvious dream answer is us. Come on.
You're damn right.
We'd be damn great at that show.
We might have to be late night.
Those house frowns wouldn't know what hit them.
They would not. Whoops. Yeah, we're
late night when they come home from work.
We're a late night show, if anything.
Okay. All right, well, that's our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe. Bye.